Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he, meaning Elijah, said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be done so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose display of glory was a foretaste of the glory of heaven for all of his believers, dear fellow redeemed. It's only about a little more than 2 months away. Tax day, that is, April 15th. I'm sure many of you know the old saying, the only thing sure, only sure things in life are death and taxes. And many people try to avoid both of them. And I'm sure there's many people who have gotten away with cheating Uncle Sam out of the taxes that he deserves. But in the history of the world, there are only two people over 6,000 years never entered into eternity without first going through death. Enoch, who was the father of Methuselah, lived to be 365 years old, and we're told he was no more. The Lord took him to heaven, recorded in Genesis 5:24. The only other person to go from this life to eternity without passing through the doors of death was the man in our text this morning, Elijah. This morning we're tying in the glorious departure of Elijah into heaven with the glorious appearance of Jesus on the transfiguration. And we see that these two wonderful truths can be summed up under this theme, the glory of a believer's life. First point is, it's glorious when it's spent serving the Lord. And secondly, it's glorious when it ends in eternal life in heaven. Elijah was probably the most famous, the most important prophet in the Old Testament after Moses. But his ministry was not an easy one. His ministry was during the reign of one of the most cruel, evil, and wicked kings, the northern kingdom of Israel, Ahab. In fact, this is what's said about Ahab in 1 Kings 16. "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Together with his wicked wife Jezebel, They led the people into bloody idolatry, even sacrificing their own children on the altar of Baal. They instituted legalized prostitution with the 400 priestesses of the goddess of love, Ashtaroth. So Ahab and Jezebel were guilty of leading Israel into almost total spiritual adultery, immorality, and debauchery. It's during that reign that God called Elijah to go and preach to the people, to condemn their idolatry, condemn their wickedness, repent, and turn back to the Lord Jehovah. It was not an easy ministry. For when he did that, the king and many of the people said, "You're the problem. You're the trouble of Israel." They hunted Elijah down. Jezebel swore by her gods that she'd kill Elijah. And yet, his work was not in vain. We're told that before Elijah was taken to heaven, the Lord said to him, "There's still 7,000 in Israel who were faithful to Jehovah, who had not bowed the knee to the prophets of Baal." In our text this morning, we see the end of Elijah's ministry. Somehow the Lord had revealed to him and to Elisha that his ministry was going to come to an end, and the Lord was going to take him up to heaven bodily. Elijah felt that he needed to be alone to have that happen, so he told Elisha to stay behind in Bethel. But Elisha said no. There's not just a morbid curiosity on his part to see the end and see what would happen. It was out of great love for his dear friend Elijah, out of a willingness to also become that next prophet that God had called him to be. Elisha was to be Elijah's successor. And so he didn't stay at Bethel, didn't stay at Gilgal, didn't stay at Jericho, but he followed him all the way up to the Jordan River. It's there when they got to the Jordan River that an amazing miracle took place. Elijah took off that black mantle, that big coat that he wore, which was his calling card, his trademark, rolled it up, struck the water, and the Jordan River parted. And they walked across on dry ground. Just like it was good for Peter, James, and John to be there to see Jesus' glory shining brightly, so it was good for Elisha and those other 50 prophets who were witnessing this to see the glory of God, be able to do this miracle. It wasn't Elijah that did it. It was the Lord through that mantle. When they got to the side of the Jordan River, they were walking in the wilderness. Elijah said to Elisha, "Go ahead, ask me, what would you like?" And Elisha requested a double portion of Elijah's spirit. That didn't mean he wanted to be twice as popular, twice as famous, or twice as good as Elijah. But he was willing to take on that calling to be the next prophet in Israel. He was willing to have the same spirit that Elijah had. He prayed for the faith, the strength, the courage, the ability, the zeal to fulfill that calling that Elijah had done so very well. He wanted the glory of the believer's life to serve the Lord. This is not Elijah's to give, though. That's only something the Holy Spirit can do. And so Elijah said, "If you see me being taken to heaven, the Spirit has revealed to me that you'll receive my spirit as well." And it happened. As they were walking, suddenly a flaming chariot with flaming horses from heaven comes down, sweeps between the two of them, scoops up Elijah, takes him to heaven. Twinkle of an eye, he's changed from a mortal body to immortality, from corruption to incorruption, from dishonor to glory, from weakness to power, from the glory of serving the Lord here as a servant in this kingdom of earth, to the greater glory, the victorious glory of being with him now face to face in heaven without even dying. What a glorious departure for the child of God. In both the transfiguration of Jesus and this departure of Elijah into heaven, we have a foretaste of heaven, a glimpse of the glory that we shall enjoy face to face with our Savior and with the triune God throughout eternity. Elijah's departure into glory was because he was prepared with faith in the Lord Jehovah and the coming Messiah. And he showed it through his service to the Lord. Yet our Lord reminds us continually that we too have that same faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it should show also in our life as well. Day by day, the Lord says, we should be ready for our ending, our departure, whether it be through death or being caught up in the sky, the Lord if he comes today. He continually reminds us that we're strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. We have no continuing city. This is not our real home. Our real home is in heaven. And to take our eyes off of this mud of clay where there's sin and sickness and death and sorrow, and keep our eyes focused upon our heavenly home. Yes, do your work faithfully. Love your family. Serve your God. But continually know that the Lord could call us in a moment, either through death or through a second coming, and be ready with repentant hearts and faith in Jesus. Elijah was prepared because he knew the coming Savior. And he spent his life serving the Lord. And that should be said of every single one of us. Not that we have to become called ministers or called teachers, but God gave you life on this earth for a most important reason. And that's to serve him. To serve him in whatever you do, whatever your calling may be, but to serve him by glorifying his name, by telling others about him, by living and serving others as well. The reason the Lord has created you and given you breath and life and time and treasures and abilities is to glorify his name. And to glorify his name means to live for him, not for self. To glorify him in whatever you do, whatever you say, however you act. Elijah in his ministry performed many, many, many wonderful miracles. We saw this one here where he took off his mantle and he struck the river. But that was really God performing it through Elijah. That mantle showed that he was God's servant. But when he was taken to heaven in that whirlwind, he dropped the mantle and fell to the ground. Elijah picked it up, walked with it, carried it back to the Jordan River. Now he's on the other side of the Jordan River. How's he going to get across? He took that mantle, rolled it up, struck the Jordan River like Elijah had done, and it parted, just like Elijah had done, walked across on dry ground. The Lord showed to him he had received the same spirit of Elijah. As you study Elisha's life, much of the miracles Elisha performed were many of the same ones that Elijah had done some years earlier. God has given you the same ability. He's given you the Word of God, the Gospel. This here is the power of God unto salvation. When we tell someone about Jesus, when we tell them that their Savior is Jesus, who saved them from their sins, who died to take away all their sins, and heaven is theirs, and the Holy Spirit works faith in their heart, that's a miracle. A miracle takes place through us, by means of the Holy Spirit, working through the Gospel, changing from unbelief to faith, from spiritual deadness to spiritual life, from purposelessness to a meaningful life, from sin to righteousness, from serving self to serving Christ. We too can perform miracles. So we are preaching the Gospel, speaking to people who don't know Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works through that word to change hearts. When Elijah was taken up, Elisha was filled with emotions, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. It was not a reference to the fiery chariot and the fiery horsemen. He was talking about Elijah. The chariots and the horsemen of Israel were their defense. They defended Israel. So Elijah was called a chariot and a horseman of Israel because of his defense of the people by proclaiming the gospel message. When Elisha died years later, the prophets there said the same thing. My father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So, are you a chariot? Are you a horseman of God's kingdom? In the New Testament, Jesus uses different terms, salt and light. Are we salt? It helps preserve this world by proclaiming the good news of forgiveness. Are we light to point to other people? The light of salvation. The only way to be saved is not by doing our works, by something that we can do, but by what Jesus did for us. So ask yourself, what good is a light if it's burnt out? It's worthless. What good is salt if it's lost its saltiness and its preserving ability? It too is worthless. Having brought to faith by God's word and his grace, we're left in this world for time to do one thing, to do like Elijah did, to serve God. We serve God by spreading his word in whatever way we can to our children, friends, family, relationship, neighbors, fellow workers. You know, when you look at this text, look at our society, you see it's very, very similar. We too have governmental leaders all around the world that appear to be somewhat moral, but they live pretty immoral lives. We too have a world filled with idols, idols of chrome, steel, metal, green paper, investments, bank accounts, and thousands of other things. Immorality seeps into our homes, through our TV, VCRs, CDs, radios. And the enemy is not out there. The enemy is right inside of us, our own sinful flesh. A sinful flesh that says, I want to do what I want to do. I don't care what God says. A sinful flesh that brags about itself and boasts in itself and says, I'm good enough. I can get to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm better than they, those guys. And I'll sinful the world that comes around us and says, don't spend so much time reading the scriptures. Don't spend so much time thinking about an eternity. Think about the here and now. That's what you need to be concerned about. Our only defense is the gospel, the good news that fills us with repentance over our sins when we're honest with ourselves, and then a godly sorrow that looks to Jesus and seeks his forgiving grace. And soon, the world will see me no more. They'll see you no more. We'll be taken to heaven to be with the Lord. But until then, we need to be chariots and horsemen for God's kingdom. We need to be salt and light for the Lord, both in our homes, in our classrooms, in our workplaces, in our church, and in society. The Apostle Paul wrote this about Christians. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The departure of Elijah was a painful loss for Elisha. He lost his dear close friend. But for Elijah, it was eternal joy and happiness. And so it is for all of us. As brothers and sisters, it's a painful loss. We lose a loved one who dies. But for the loved one who dies in Christ, it is glory everlasting. The glory of serving here ends up being the glory, the eternal glory of being with Christ. And so when we close our eyes in the sleep of death, with repentant hearts, faithful trust in Jesus, we too are victorious over death. And are escorted, our souls are escorted by the angels into heaven, and someday our bodies will be resurrected on that last great day of the resurrection. And as your pastor, my very fervent prayer for every single one of you is that you, like Elijah, are prepared. Prepared for your departure. Whenever that may be. Prepared with a repentant heart. Sorrow over your sins. and a confident, joyful faith in Jesus Christ that shows in your service to the Lord. You know, that's the ultimate goal. That's really the only single goal that a child of God has, to be in heaven. And it's attainable only through Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.